This message is sponsored by Greenlight. With school out, summer is the perfect time to teach our kids real-world money skills they'll use forever. Greenlight is a debit card and the number one family finance and safety app used by millions of families, helping kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. Parents can send their kids money and track their spending and saving, while kids build money confidence and skills in fun ways. Start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/iHeart. That's greenlight.com/iHeart.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Russiagate, that was then. This is now. But now includes new remarks by the director of the Central Intelligence, Mr. Ratcliffe, by the FBI and the person of number two at FBI, Dan Bongino, and by other dignitaries in and around the Trump administration. And those of us who have long memories for the original Russiagate, we have information from Mr. Ratcliffe and the CIA of what was done in 2017 that led to the lengthy investigation of Donald Trump as an agent of Vladimir Putin, and ended with everybody saying the word hoax. I welcome Andrew McCarthy, National Review Online, and Thaddeus McCarter, American Greatness, two gentlemen who are with me through the discovery phase, 2017, 2018, 2019, that ended in the word hoax. Andy, I begin with you because there is the implication, at least in some of the story presentations, the Washington Examiner, the New York Post, and Fox News, that there is an investigation underway at the FBI dealing with the information in the Ratcliffe release about Mr. Brennan, who was DCI, and Mr. Comey, who was the director of the FBI in those early months of 2017, when we learn now that Russiagate was growing in momentum. Is there here anything that suggests criminality or a move towards criminality, hence the implication of an investigation? Good evening to you, Andy.
Good evening, John and Thaddeus. I don't think there's any basis for a criminal investigation. We're talking now about mainly events that took place 9 years ago in the run-up to the 2016 election and then the immediate aftermath of it, when undoubtedly the intelligence community and the FBI did collude with the Clinton campaign in order to promote the suggestion that Trump was a Putin puppet, as Mrs. Clinton put it. But ever since then, John, there's been innumerable congressional investigations, Justice Department Inspector General investigations. The first Trump administration appointed a special counsel, John Durham, to look into this closely. There was no basis to bring criminal charges. That doesn't mean there weren't abuses of power, but very often abuses of power are not amenable to criminal prosecution. In our system, the main check on abuse of executive power is Congress, not the courts and federal prosecutors. But even if all that weren't true, we're again talking about stuff that's 9 years old. The federal statute of limitations for crimes is basically 5 years. And there isn't really anything here that would generate an actual federal prosecution. Now, I think what's clearly been happening since the Trump administration began is that the Justice Department and the intelligence community have gone about the business of a revisionist history of the 2020 election, which Trump maintains that he won. And he has people in the Justice Department who are still turning under rocks to try to find evidence that the election was stolen from him. They haven't found any, but they want everyone to know that they're looking. And here, I think there's a need or a goal to have retribution against the people that Trump regards as his main nemesis in connection with the Russia collusion business, and that would be Brennan and Comey. So I guess they're fine with having the impression publicly established that these guys might be the subjects of criminal investigations. But the idea that there actually would be a criminal prosecution to me is very far-fetched.
To set this actual document up, it's called the 2017 Intelligence Community Assessment. It was back then. But the director, Mr. Ratcliffe, chose to declassify it, and that's why we have it now, 7-8 years later. And in it, it has very careful language that is hard to interpret other than the fact nothing to see. For example, the dossier, the Steele dossier, quote, ran counter to fundamental tradecraft principles and ultimately undermined the credibility of a key judgment. My guess as an amateur, what that means is, it was a bunch of baloney and we shouldn't have used it. That is, do you have a question for Mr. McCarthy?
Well, Andy, isn't it possible that one of the reasons this is coming out now is to do precisely what you have always reminded us? There is not always a criminal resolution to an abuse of power, but there is a congressional way to address this and ameliorate it. So maybe Ratliff is reminding people that it's time for Congress to look at how to curb these abuses of power through statutes rather than trying to find it through the justice system.
Yeah, I think that's right. There wouldn't be anything wrong with Congress taking a look at this. I don't think it would require Ratcliffe to, according to what the press reporting is, he's done a referral to Kash Patel, who's the FBI director now, suggesting that Brennan and Comey should be subject to criminal prosecution. But that's the separate track from what Congress should be doing, which, Congress has been mostly dormant, I think, Thaddeus, and has delegated a lot of its oversight responsibility to federal prosecutors, which is in this system really not what's supposed to happen. Congress should take the bull by the horns here, and it really hasn't done a satisfactory job of that. I would just say in response to what John said, I think we just want to be clear here. There are two different reports. One is, as John referred to, the late 2016, early 2017 report that was done on Russia's interference in the 2016 election. And then there is a second report that was commissioned by the current CIA director, John Ratcliffe, to look at the tradecraft and lessons learned from the 2017 incident. So the reason that we're getting this new reporting is that about a week ago, Ratcliffe declassified and publicized this 8-page report that was done at his behest regarding lessons learned from that incident 8-9 years ago.
And what did we learn, Andy, that the executive branch has to check itself, that it can't be easily countered? I understand you have Congress, but good heavens, to ask Congress to move quickly seems unfair. So did we learn that the executive branch has authority that we can't check if it's not checked by itself?
No, I think it's more modest than that, John. I think what we learned is basically what you said a moment ago about it being baloney. The more technical explanation, if we're going to do it in terms of tradecraft, is what the CIA says in this 8-page report is there was intelligence reporting that was credible and had been gathered in the CIA's normal way of gathering information that stood for the proposition that Putin did want Trump to win.
Right.
Even though they were not as confident about that as they were to say that Putin wanted to denigrate Hillary Clinton in anticipation that she would be president. He wanted to discredit her. They were very confident in that conclusion. They were less confident in the conclusion that Putin actually had an aspiration that he wanted Trump to win. And what the CIA current report is saying is that by including the Steele dossier in that matrix of analysis that they did, and by doing it in a very compressed time frame that was clearly done for political reasons. In other words, Obama commissioned this report right after the 2016 election, and it was done in a ridiculously tight time frame that the intelligence community would never act on with respect to something important. That all lent itself to the conclusion that many people, I think, properly drew, that this was a political enterprise to paint Trump as if he were under the thumb of Putin. And what the lessons learned analysis is, what it says is we undermined our own intelligence product by relying on information that was bogus. And most sensible people think that if you're putting your thumb on the scale politically with respect to some aspect of your report, they're going to reject the whole thing as a political exercise.
Andrew McCarthy, National Review Online, Thaddeus McCotter, American Greatness. Both these gentlemen were with me through the Russiagate investigation. It's a pleasure to welcome them back so we can put paid in full on the revelations most recently.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Life with CIDP can be tough, but the Thrive Team, a specialized squad of experts, helps people living with CIDP make more room in their lives for joy. Watch Rare, Well Done.
An all-new reality series, Rare, Well Done, offers help and hope to people across the country who live with the rare disease CIDP. Watch the latest episode now, exclusively on RareWellDone.com.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.